Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, Med Spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And we're happy to have Chris join us today. Last episode, Allie was here with me. Chris was MIA.
They just decided to talk about orgasms without me. That was a real thing.
We talked about orgasms without you. And today, we're going to talk about some shady shit with you. We're going to talk about cheap Botox.
Cheap Botox can be some shady shit. You're actually right about that. So when we see these deals that people are advertising all over, it raises an eyebrow, at least for me and you, because we know how much it costs to actually buy the products. And some of these prices we see are so low, we know that you can't even get a legitimate neurotoxin for that price.
The thing is, we don't know exactly what other practices pay, but we know how much we buy and the price we get on it. We know pretty much like the base price of what Botox is or Dysport, and all of them are pretty similar. And so when we see people start advertising prices that we can't even purchase it at, there's something going on. There can be a few things. I guess that's what we can lead into is like topics about like, why can some people advertise Botox at $8 a unit or Dysport at $250 a unit?
Yeah, and so I think there's a lot of different things that we could talk about. The main thing is making sure that you have a discussion with your provider and that they're using products that are FDA approved from a distributor that's licensed in the U.S. Because we know that when people get these from unauthorized sources, it could either be counterfeit or fraudulent product. It could be not what they think they're buying. Some of it does come from the same like companies. And so I hear people all the time say, why is it so much cheaper in Canada or Colombia or some other country? And when we see people that are advertising, sometimes they're getting these products from other countries that's not an approved distribution source. So you can't be then assured as a patient that that was maintained at the right temperature, that it was shipped correctly, that it's the same type of product that we may use here in the U.S. So there's a lot of considerations. And so although it may be cheaper up front, you may end up spending more money over time because if the product doesn't last as long, wears off quicker, or conversely, if you get something that is not reconstituted correctly and you get a higher dose than you think, there's a lot of different factors that kind of go into, you know, pricing neurotoxin in the U.S., the FDA, because it really, they go to extremes, and we can all argue about is it right or wrong, but basically to get something approved in the U.S. and through a legal distribution chain, it costs a lot of money because there's a lot of tracking and control to make sure that these medications are stored at the right temperature, shipped at the right temperature, and that the providers have the necessary training and license to actually inject it. And so some of the other products you may be able to get from non-licensed providers. We see people order it from other countries as toxins that we don't even have names of here for in the United States. It was interesting. We were laughing right before this. There was a comedian. I wasn't familiar with this. It's Hannah Berner. And I guess just had some recent injections into her masseters and now can't smile. And, you know, it's interesting because I have no idea why she picked a new injector, but she did pick a new injector for this procedure, I guess. And reportedly, she had Dysport, which is an approved U.S. product. So sometimes when we have these adverse outcomes, it's not just a not approved product. It could be just that patient's unique anatomy or, you know, maybe provider training. So there are other muscles close to where we inject some of these products. And with her, when she can't smile, it looks like it affected maybe some of the risorius muscle. And so now she can't move her mouth like side to side on each side.
I haven't seen it. I saw you laughing.
It's a Jerry smile.
A Jerry smile. A bad one.
No. How you smile down. Smile for us.
I can't smile right now.
Smile to see it.
No, because my smile is...
People can go to YouTube and watch it.
Chris always says that I need to go to smile school because I have an ugly smile. I have good teeth. I just have a bad smile.
But smile so they can see it on the YouTube channel. See? The Hannah Berner smile. Sierra, do you agree?
No.
That's so mean for my husband to tell me I have a bad smile.
No, he has a very nice smile when he doesn't think about it, like now. But when you ask him to smile, all of a sudden, he goes and he smiles with the muscles in the lower mouth instead of upper.
So I need Dysport.
Smile.
No, I don't want to. I'm going to go to smile school, then I'll smile for all of y'all. You mentioned several things that I think are like kind of talking points. And one of them was about talking to providers. And I think between podcasts, social media, like all of the things. I've never been asked as many times as I have probably in the past 2 years, what are you injecting? Mm-hmm. And they don't disagree with it, but I have patients ask.
Putting
now,
that in perspective, we've been doing this around 20 years almost. Yeah. And
but people used to never ask. They would never ask. And people would come in, and we still, and you'll catch us like I think we're guilty just like everyone else of about saying our Botox. And I can't tell you the last time I ever had Botox. Like, it's Dysport.
Personally, we use Dysport, and that's what we use most of the time in the clinic. We do have a handful of patients that prefer the Botox brand from Allergan, and so we order that when they want it. And we've used all the other brands, Xeomin and Jeuveau.
Even though Botox is a brand, we kind of use it as a generic statement mm-hmm. to encompass all the neurotoxins. I think it's really cool now that patients will ask, like, now, what are you injecting? Or are we doing Dysport today? Or, you know, what filler is this? Because they're so much more educated than any of us probably were 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty cool that patients actually, they're not uncomfortable with us. And we encourage it. I mean, we've mentioned it a million times on different podcasts, like vet your injector, not only your injector, but also like vet what you're getting injected with. Like, it's fair to know.
Yeah, I think it's a great to know. And also to understand that, you know, we led into this and joked about cheap toxin, but if it's a fair promotion and they're using legitimate product, a promotion is not necessarily a bad thing. Because, you know, if I'm going to go out and spend thousands of dollars on marketing, maybe I'm going to take that money and put it in discount and give a lower price on my toxin and pass it on to the patients to get an influx of people into the practice. And so whether we spend it on Google ads or on doing some kind of promo where we lower the price, so people have different ways that they approach getting new people into the practice. And sometimes they will cut the price down, understanding they're going to lose some money on that first treatment.
It's an expense for that practice.
I just want to make sure that we say that we're not saying everybody that does it is using an illegal product, because some of them are using it as a promotion to get people in the door, which again may be legitimate, but ask. You want to know as a patient, is that from an approved source, and what is it that your provider is injecting you with?
There's specials on a lot of these things. Like, literally my phone's vibrating beside me as we speak about, like, if you come in and get a neurotoxin and filler, that you can get qualify for a pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses. And so, you know, it's Ashley, our rep, reminding us about Dysport specials.
I was going to say, is that our special or you're promoting somebody else?
No, it's actually our specials that, and Ashley's texting to remind us that, you know, or I think we have something going right now with cologne, like you can get a Chanel cologne or, you know, a Versace cologne. So it's all these different things. And we all each do something special. But it's not a cheap toxin. That's money that, and it's not free products that you're getting. That's money that we've spent at some point in some form of advertising to get people in, to make people choose Skin and Tonic, to set us apart, to do different.
We do use primarily Dysport in our products. We use the whole Galderma line. It's pretty exciting, some of the new neurotoxins that are coming out, though. So when we talk about cheap toxin, it's like there's some other things that go into it. And so when we use Dysport, the units are different. It's measured differently. So it's not necessarily stronger or weaker or better or worse, but it's different. And so it takes, when we look at the units, a conversion is about 2.5 for what Dysport is. And so when we say that, you know, for instance, if we did $4 per unit of Dysport, sometimes people think, oh, that's a really cheap neurotoxin. But in reality, if we were to compare it side by side with the Botox, it would be about $10 a unit, because it takes about 2.5 times the amount of product. But there's some really new ones that are coming out, hopefully this year. One of them by Galderma, we think, and another one by Allergan. And I'll be interested to see the price points on those. We don't know yet as providers where they're going to be. But one of them is a really short-acting one. It's called a Trinibotulinum E. So it's a different type of toxin than we've ever had access to. But reportedly, the onset of that is going to be within a few hours. Now, they are using this in other countries already. It's approved in Canada just recently, I think within the past month or two. And the onset is within hours, but it only lasts a few weeks. So kind of, what are your thoughts? Are people going to pay for that? What would you think the advantage of something really short acting would be?
I think about a couple of patients that I'm treating right now with Bell's palsy. And I think in a situation like that, and when you're doing a trial and error on trying to correct some things, I think that I would appreciate being able to inject to see exactly how to create the recipe that works best for that patient. You know, some people don't want neurotoxin all the time, but they may want it for an event. And so it may be appropriate for that. What do you think the ideal situation for it would be like?
I think you forgot to get your toxin or you've never had it and you have an event coming up. So we know it takes a few days for onset. So if somebody had something later that evening or the next day, maybe something with a quick onset. But the real interesting thing is the one that we're probably going to have access at some point, you know, in the near future from Galderma, that one is called Relfydess. And that one, if you look at the use of it in other countries, so when I was in Monaco, I got to see some of the data on that, and they use it over in other that country. Talked to some providers in Australia, it's used extensively in Australia. And that one is kind of fits in the traditional toxin space that we're used to, but they formulate it a really different way. They never dry it out. It's always in a liquid form. They use a special proprietary method to extract the toxin and make it pure. So the interesting thing with that is that also the onset from, you know, I don't know what they're going to say on their actual data from the company, but when you talk to providers who's used it in these other countries, the onset is really quick as well. So it's not within hours, but it's usually when
this is the Relfydess.
Mm-hmm. And they're saying they're getting like almost 6 months. So again, I don't know that they're going to claim 6 months duration with it, but in real world experience, the onset's within a day or two and the duration is 5 or 6 months. So it's, but it may be priced as a premium product. So we're not sure about that. But I think it's a kind of a fascinating time to be in aesthetics because we have more choices now for neurotoxin than we've ever had. And so as a provider, I think it's important that you work with a company and you use products that are approved. So you protect your license. You know that you're providing a safe, reliable product with predictable results to your patients. And as a consumer or a patient, you need to make sure that you vet your provider so you feel safe about what's being injected into your body. And you know there's been trials and studies to show that it's safe and there's no, you know, long-term effects and that the side effect profile is pretty clean. So we do have a lot of choices now and coming up.
Do you know about the Allergan product? Is it kind of mirroring the Relfydess? Is it like short acting, short onset, long acting?
No. So that their whole, like the trinibotulinum is really short. I believe the official thing says within 8 hours. And so I don't know. I think some real world data is saying that it's even sooner, within a few hours, people are seeing results. But it's a botulinum toxin E, so it's different. The other ones are all A, including the Relfydess. But the duration of that, I think, is only somewhere around 3 weeks. So it's really designed as a short acting.
So what would be, like I gave you my thoughts on target patients. What is the target patient for something with a short onset?
Yeah, I think that's the people who have an immediate event coming up. People, right? I mean, so they have something tomorrow. And so, yeah, some of the newer toxins are saying they're going to onset within a few days. But I think to reliably get that full effect, having something that works quickly, I think for people trying on a look, they're not sure they want it. They want to try it before they commit to a long term. You want to, they're only going to have certain areas approved on label. And so I'm sure they're not marketing it for high risk areas. But my guess is in the real world practice that providers are going to use these things in a way to test out areas that they may be afraid to put toxin normally, limiting their duration that they're going to have to deal with that. So that would be my guess, is that people will use it off label for those high risk areas to see what the result is like.
Be interesting. Two more choices that we don't currently have.
Yeah. And certainly we'll try them out here at Skin and Tonic. I mean, we're always making sure that not only are we up on the science, but we like to, you know, try these things. So Jerry, you'll probably be getting some new toxin.
Be a guinea pig once again.
Once again. Well, we can try some of those strange looks. You know, we haven't tried in a while, reposition the brow.
The ugly smile I've got.
Is nothing wrong with your smile. It's beautiful, but I love the way that you do it on command with your, most people smile with their like zygomaticus muscles. And you, what muscles is that? Maybe your DAOs.
DAOs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to knock them out. I'll do that today for you.
Other things, let me look at the list here, see what we didn't cover that Sierra wanted us to cover on this topic. I guess other things with cheap neurotoxin, sometimes patients also will tell us, we hear this quite often, they dilute their toxin, they didn't give us the right toxin, they didn't. And I do think that that's a little bit of a myth we have to dispel over and over again. I don't think in general providers are over-diluting or watering down products. It is true we can store them improperly. So they have to be refrigerated after they're mixed up. And some of them can be stored at room temperature until they're mixed up. But if we're not storing them properly, then there may be some issues with how long it works. Sometimes we dose lower intentionally, and that may be because of a patient budget. And so they'll say, hey, I want you to treat both of these areas, but I don't have enough money to pay for the recommended dose. And as a provider, it's up to you to decide, are you going to undertreat knowing that that's not going to give them the duration? And other times we want to limit the duration because we're worried about how that look will be. So if we're really worried about a heavy brow, we know that if we dose lower, it will wear off sooner. So they're not going to have to deal with that side effect of a heavy appearing brow or a droop or something for a long time. And so the key to all that is it's not that there's necessarily a right or wrong approach. It's to have a great consultation and a thorough discussion with your patient or with your provider so that you're both aligned with what the expectations are. Hey, we're going to try a lower dose because we want to see how this, you know, looks. And if it works, we can go up on it the next time, but it's not going to last as long because we're using a lower dose. So it's those sorts of things that it doesn't mean they did something wrong, but there may be some reason they did it that fully not communicated to the patient. I did want to bring up some of this counterfeit toxin. And so this is a different issue. I think most providers, especially in our area, so kind of in the Pensacola area, we have a lot of providers that I think are really great medical providers. They're great injectors. They do an amazing job with their patients. We really try to support a lot of people in our local community. But when I travel to other areas, they're not as fortunate. And so there are certain pockets of the U.S. that there is a lot of counterfeit material being imported. And it's not just the storage of that, but actually what's in it. And so we've seen problems, infectious complications where it's not a sterile product that people have injected. It's been contaminated with different types of, some of them with heavy metal, some of them with bacteria. And the CDC has definitely had reports of some of this counterfeit or mishandled toxin. And so looking back, I think this is about a year and a half ago, there was 22 people in 11 states that had adverse effects after injection from unlicensed or untrained individuals in non-healthcare settings. Of 20 of them, the patients of the 22, 20 of them were available to give information. 11 of those 20 were hospitalized, and 6 of those had to get some sort of antitoxin. So this is not something to play around with. And so we've heard about systemic botulinum problems. So there's a systemic problems, but also some of these risks that we've seen with infection is crazy. But the interesting thing is most of those, if not all of them, were unlicensed individuals. And so in the U.S., only licensed medical providers can actually acquire the toxin. And so when you want to check somebody's medical license and know that they're appropriate to inject that, occasionally you'll see these deals where South Florida in particular, when I go down there, there's a lot of people without a medical license that is injecting a ton of product.
Huge thing right now in Texas going kind of flared up again. Like I won't dive off into it because there's nothing at all against estheticians, but my news source being TikTok, it's a lot on TikTok right now about non-licensed that are actually own med spas. And some of them aren't even estheticians. They had a title. It was like an aesthetic assistant or something like that. And that they were injecting under the supervision of the physician.
Yeah, so it is kind of interesting. And we definitely, maybe we can have a whole other podcast on it. But across the U.S., the states have different laws on who can own a medical practice in general. And it's called the Corporate Practice of Medicine Act. And the reason that's put into place is the idea is that they don't want corporations dictating how doctors or nurse practitioners manage patients. They want the provider to be able to make the right treatment plan. So med spas fall into a medical practice, but they're also treated very much like a retail space, just like a nail or a hair salon is what a lot of people think of. But it's actual medical products that we're injecting. And so some of the states, Florida being one of them, Texas being one of them, they don't have a corporate practice of medicine. So that means anyone can own a medical practice. So you can be just an entrepreneur and own the business and employ people to do some of these procedures. The law, though, regardless of the ownership structure, is that only licensed medical providers can order these products. Now, unfortunately, we hear stories all too often that there are providers, doctors, NPs where it's allowed in certain states that will sell their license. And so basically they just sign off on things, but there's no true oversight or training. And while complications are rare, they're not impossible. And we've seen this not just with Botox, but with things like IV infusions, IV vitamins. And then there's actually a case in Texas where a young person was just getting IV hydration and she had a cardiac arrest and died. And that was where a non-licensed medical person gave the IV, ordered the medication. And I think she was 22 or 24, young person, healthy person, and she ended up dying. And there's a big lawsuit around that, obviously, and people went to jail over it. So as a consumer, know your training of your provider, ask them what product are you using, what's your training on this product, so that you feel confident in the provider that you've chosen. Don't just look for always the best price. We all look a good deal, though.
Come to us at Skin and Tonic.
Come to us at Skin and Tonic. Yeah, exactly. We'd love to see you here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
See you soon.